This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Harrington for the Pirates with a 1-1. And it's line past third. Down the left field line it goes. This will score a couple. Into second base goes Jake Mangum, becoming a folk hero. It's 2-0, Tampa Bay. And it's grounded up the middle, a base hit. And it's 3-0 on an 0-2, a ground single. And now misplayed by Cruz. He picks it up and throws late. O'Neill Cruz having a whale of a time in center field early going this year. It is 3-0. Tampa Bay, and Meisner gets the RBI and moves to second on the error by Cruz. And a high drive to right field. That's a no-doubter. Wow, crushed by Brandon Lau. His second home run of this young season gives Tampa Bay a 6-0 lead in the fourth. Line drive, base hit into right. Brandon Lau with his third hit on base for a fourth time, and now Tampa Bay leads it 7-0. Mason Montgomery for the Rays, the pitch. Swing and a miss. And this game ends with another Pirates strikeout. And the Pirates are shut out. And they fall to 1-5 on the young season. Final score, Tampa Bay 7, Pittsburgh 0.
Oh, boy, Bob. Oh, boy. Pirates lose by a touchdown. They should have tried a tush-push in the game. We have a million stories today. We have great guests today, and we're reunited, and it feels so good. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing well. How was your golf excursion?
It was incredible. I was with your friend Alex Urrea at one of the most prestigious country clubs, I don't know, on the
Naples.
Planet.
Yeah.
Naples Country Club. Bob, I didn't belong there. They had a hell of a grilled cheese, I'll tell you that, with a Diet Coke and fries, just
you
the way
didn't
I like them.
Tomato bisque soup with that? That's how it normally goes together. It's hand and glove.
I actually should have, now that you mentioned it. And he was a very nice man. He knows a lot of Pittsburgh sports people. I saw people who run Giant Eagle. I saw, you know, he knows so many sports guys, and everyone he mentioned, I'm like, Alex, if you told that guy that you play golf with me, he would say, why'd you play golf with that blankety blank? All these people who don't like me. But he's a terrific guy, and we had fun. I felt like I was at the Masters, Bob. It was an incredible course.
Oh, he's really good at reaching out, creating relationships. Just a really good guy all the way around. And his son is on the fast track to getting a nice college opportunity.
And his daughter is a really good golfer.
Right.
And we FaceTimed you after my after I parred a hole,
and
right?
As soon as I saw the FaceTime coming in, I said, this is either really good or he just threw his set of clubs in the lake.
No, one of
the two happened. And I saw Alex and you together in a cart smiling. So I figured
yes,
it was good.
It was a par, and I was on my best behavior because in a place like that, you can't act up, and everybody was wonderful.
It's a great golf course, too.
Oh, my God, was it a great golf course. Limits, are you happy to see Bob and I back together?
Very happy to have the gang all back together. It's like the family reunion, finally reuniting after a week away.
I love his hat today, don't you, Bob? It's the Stargell Star hat from 1979.
And it's signed by Manny Sanguian as well.
Wow.
Underneath.
Wow.
How about that?
Number 35.
Yes,
the best
sir.
Opposite field hitting catcher I think I've ever seen.
Yes, sir. And a bad ball hitter at that.
Yes.
They could use him right about now, and nobody's handing out stars right about now. And, Bob, we begin today with bird crap and Belfont snorkels. Does that sound enticing to you?
I'd be curious to find out about the Belfont snorkel. Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Ryan Wilson, aren't we, Limits?
Yeah,
from CBS Sports, this guy who's
now
used
annoying
to,
me.
Yeah, he used to come on with Ron and I all the time. He was a big fan of Ron. Ryan went to CMU. He's their draft guru. He's been giving me the Belfont snorkel for weeks now. And then yesterday, and this is, some call this a triple Belfont. What did he do to you, Limits?
So I asked Ryan if he could come on with us yesterday. And I know, Joe, you have been getting dodged, might be the correct word, by Ryan at times.
Snorkeled, and, yeah.
Yeah, not answering texts. Ryan has been very good of getting back to me. He responds
right.
pretty quickly. But he said that he was slammed yesterday, unfortunately, and he wouldn't be able to join us. He didn't say that he wouldn't be able to join us, but he said he slammed, unfortunately. So
yeah.
I said, okay, hopefully another time. Come to find out, Bob, he joined the PM team yesterday,
Bob,
after our show.
He joined the PM
wow.
team. So he snorkeled me and Limits and then went on the PM team. That's a rarely seen, rarely executed triple Belfont snorkel. What do you make of it?
Was there some enticement to go on
well,
the PM
that's what
team?
I'm wondering if Donnie Football is behind all this. Is he telling Ryan Wilson to sort of pile on here, or what's going on?
Is Pony doing that?
I don't know.
Is Mulsey doing that?
I have suspicions all the way around. This reminds me when I started on the Penguins beat, and suddenly I suspected the PG beat writers back then of subversive behavior, Bob, of blowing up my interviews and things like that. Then again, I'm paranoid, but just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean someone's not out to get me, right?
I think you need to check that out. Don't have that as part of your beliefs anymore. It doesn't do any good.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right.
Whatever it is, it is. If he doesn't want to come on here, then fine. We'll move on and get somebody else.
Okay. How about the bird crap? Every year at this time, I have a red Toyota Camry. There's a flock of birds, and flock is too light a word, Bob, who congregate right above my driveway where I'm parked. Like, it could be anywhere. It's like they're aiming. And
they're pretty good with their aim.
Yeah, they just drop like torpedoes. It's like they have these torpedo bats. So I pull up to a Mount Lebanon coffee shop this morning, and I get out of my car, and the roof and the back of it is it's turned from red to white. It's embarrassing. And I couldn't make it to a car wash, but my car is basically a moving pile of bird crap. What do you make of this?
Thankfully, it's at the top where nobody will see it, so you don't have to worry about that. You are the only one who knows at this point. I don't, unless you
well,
you know,
the trunk, the trunk too.
Well, the trunk, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say only the truck drivers would see that, but since you're now including the trunk, a simple solution: after this show, before you go hit golf balls, go to and just get it washed off. Although the longer you put it on there, the longer it takes to get off, too. It's not easy.
It usually lasts about a week. Some people may say park in the street. We're not allowed to overnight. That's A. B, the gas company is here working on a project right in front of our house. This reminds me of your woodpecker problem, Bob. And how is the pecker problem going?
That problem has ceased to exist, which is good. Whatever methods I've been using over the, and this now, I don't know how long ago this was. A year and a half ago, whatever
yeah.
it was, and I haven't seen that woodpecker back. Now, maybe he died, and rest in peace if that's the case. However, he may have been just kind of tired of my antics. He could be.
Yeah.
Because I would ride out there at 6 in the morning, you know, fully engaged, whatever I was
you
wearing
wore him
or
out.
Not wearing, and
I
was throwing things at the house. I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing because I was losing my mind of sleep.
I won,
but it took a while to win.
Limits, did you ever hear of Bob's woodpecker problem and the medication he took to solve it?
Oh, all the time. I did not know about the medication. I also had a similar woodpecker problem years ago that was pecking at our gutters right outside
They'll
my window.
They peck at anything, I found out.
They Why won't would stop.
They
peck
at
gutters,
peck and
Bob?
Peck. I don't know, but their pecking is nonstop, and it's almost on clockwork time. It's
every Do they day. Sense water in there? Is
I don't
that
know.
What they're looking for, Limits?
No
or did you? How'd you get to the bottom of it?
You know, I don't think that they're pecking at the gutter just to look for a drink
yeah.
of water when there's, you know, puddles and other things, especially when it rains.
I think
right.
they're just agitated. You know, they have things going on in their personal lives which make it impossible to try to figure out.
Constantly agitated. That feels like me. It does. Maybe I'm a human woodpecker. Let's start with a six-pack today, Limits. Let's go. We have so many things to talk about, and we have a treat. Is it Matt DiMarcico? Is that the name?
DiMarcico.
Matt DiMarcico.
Yeah.
He's
the guy
Wexford.
Who scored from Wexford. DiMarcico.
The Penn State version maybe of a golden goal if they win the whole thing.
That's yes, sir. He scored the goal that is sending Penn State to the Frozen Four. We're going to talk to him in the second segment. But yes, a six-pack. Ron is already on beer number 8 in Fort Myers. Maybe we can catch up fast.
Did you catch up with him, by the way?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I know. We were having problems of our own on the vacation, and Ron didn't get a hold of me the couple times he snuck into Pittsburgh.
Fair.
This wasn't
That's
retaliatory,
fair.
But, you know, I didn't feel any great need for it. Let's start where we always start, for God's sakes. I know you started with the Pirates. We'll get to that. It's Aaron Rodgers. And what Art Rooney had to say yesterday, Bob, the biggest breakthrough quote yet, and it seems completely inevitable now that Aaron Rodgers is on his way to Pittsburgh. Limits, I know I told you Ben was going to be the first quote, but let's hear from Art instead as our first six-pack quote.
Two things from Art. This is first on what the meeting with Aaron Rodgers was like.
It was good to meet him, yeah. We talked about Pittsburgh and all the Pittsburgh coaches he's had over the years, and we talked about Greenfield and how much he knows about Greenfield, and we had a good conversation.
Why does he know Greenfield? Because of McCarthy?
McCarthy always talked about Greenfield, I guess.
Now, here's the main one. How does Rooney feel about Aaron Rodgers signing?
You have a good feeling.
Yeah, I mean, we keep getting, you know, positive sort of signals about it. So, I'd say we feel pretty good about it.
Bob, this seems almost like a done deal. I remain convinced it's going to happen on the Pat McAfee event.
You
here
and
in
everyone
Pittsburgh.
Else, and I understand that feeling.
What's your feeling right now on Aaron Rodgers?
I got to believe there's a lot of truth that there's some sort of handshake agreement. I don't think Art would have said that if there wasn't something.
Right.
But also, I'm not, you know, knowing Aaron Rodgers and how he operates, I'm not so sure if that's 100% ironclad there. I think, you know, you'll find out on April 9th. If there's no announcement there and it still goes on, then maybe that's not the case. He also said he's not going to wait forever, although there's no time deadline here.
Well,
what does that mean forever?
If they've identified Aaron Rodgers as their guy at the most critical position in all of sports, then why wouldn't they wait forever at this point? They have
well,
to.
Well, yeah, I guess we're just into April.
At least until the draft.
Want. Well, yeah, I think they need to know, if they don't already, about the draft. You know, if he may say no to you, then that may change a little bit of how you think about the draft. But
I think it's a deal that's already been done.
If it's here, okay, that's fine. You move on. And I think Austin and I are on the same page. After Fields, that was my choice. After that fell apart and didn't work. I mean, I can make a scenario for you where Aaron Rodgers could be very good for this team, provided he gets enough protection. I can also make a case that if he doesn't get the protection, then they're going to have problems on their hands. So, but regardless, Joe, their quarterback situation moving forward is still in flux, and they have to at some point address that and fix it.
And I don't think it's been upgraded one bit and maybe downgraded from last year. Like, if you told me right now I could have Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph or Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, I might take choice B. I don't think there's any difference there. I think
Rodgers is better than Russell Wilson if he gets the time.
I disagree, but that's what makes for a good show. Next, let's hear from Ben Roethlisberger on the idea.
The football and podcast.
Of Aaron Rodgers. You've been on the football and podcast,
Yeah, a couple
Bob.
Times. It's he's grown that thing pretty well. He and Spence do a good job with it, and a lot of people listen to it.
Did they serve you at the house? Hors d'oeuvres? Anything like that? Any food? They have a chef there, right?
I think Ashley's the chef. I don't think they have. I think his wife does all that. But, it was a nice time. I'll leave it at that. There's a big bottle of Louis the 13th on the bar.
Oh, wow.
Louis the 13th is as high-end as you can get when it comes to cognacs.
Wow. All right. He's done things we haven't, Limits. That's why he is the popular man on the show.
Indeed. Here is what Ben Roethlisberger had to say. This was on his football and podcast.
Aaron comes in here, the team just gets this much better. I mean, you get a Hall of Famer in here, it's this much better. I mean, it's the offense all of a sudden becomes a different team, you know? And that's not a slight towards anyone here. That's an Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different animal. You can say what you want. Yeah, he can't move quite like he used to, this and the other. You know what still works? His arm. And his brain.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's something that instantly makes this team offensively something to, you know, think about when you've got the weapons and that dude.
Bob, your thoughts?
I agree with him. I think, again, it has to be the perfect situation. You know, you have to be in a position where you know that you're going to provide him with the protection he needs. He now has DK Metcalf, and assuming they have both he and Pickens, with other options, I think he could be effective. I do.
He's saying, though, that clearly he just said that this would be an upgrade on last year, but your first choice would have been Fields.
Fields is, yeah, only because he has more upside. And that's how I felt all along. If you're going to sign Fields, given everything that Mike has said about quarterback mobility, he fits what you're looking for with the potential that he could upgrade his performance in the passing game, which means you may have solved your quarterback problem. Who knows? Just by re-signing him if he does what the potential says he can do. So that's why I wanted Justin Fields. But since that's no longer an availability, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is a better thrower and a better in-pocket quarterback than Russell Wilson, in my opinion.
Well, I won't deny that he can still throw. He can do that. But he better have plenty of time because he has started to throw more picks. These past couple of years, his final year in Green Bay, his first year with the Jets, his first full year. So he started to throw more picks. He's less mobile. He's less accurate. 30th in the league in completion percentage. And he's going to be working in an Arthur Smith, Mike Tomlin offense with at least one highly problematic wide receiver. So call me crazy, Bob, but I'm not predicting as good an outcome as you or Ben seem to be doing.
I don't know what the outcome will be. I'm just, merely saying the potential is there for it to be a good offense. The potential is also there that it won't be based on things you said. So they believe for 1 year, and this is a one-year offer, apparently.
How much you think?
30, probably.
I think 40 plus.
You think that much?
That's my prediction there. I think it's going to begin with a 4.
That's a lot. But if you give him the proper protection, I think he still can do some things in the pocket that can make you much more effective.
All right, Bob. We're going to get back to the six-pack as time permits here. And, man, we're going to start with David Bednar.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being demoted. But first, let's get to Matt DeMarsico, the hero of the day here. And the man whose goal has... And there he is. Look, Bob, on 93.7 The Fan on our YouTube page, which you should subscribe to, I might add. The man who sent Penn State to the Frozen Four with his goal against UConn. Matt, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great, man. You must be just living almost on a high these past several days here with that goal, huh? What's life like for you right now?
It's been unbelievable. I mean, especially to send Penn State to the first Frozen Four they've ever made. It's just the community. It's been unbelievable. The amount of texts and stuff I've gotten, people reaching out, congratulating, not just me, but the team. It's been really special.
The special thing, I think, Matt, is that you're a product of the Penn's elite system, and they have many other guys up there with that same background. What, take me back, and what was that like for you getting involved, and what has it done for you as a hockey player?
Oh, it's been tremendous. I mean, I started as soon as I could with the Penn's elite program. I think we have, I want to say, 5 or 6 other guys from that same program on Penn State, and I think... I mean, obviously, being from Pittsburgh, it's been a dream of mine to play Penn State ever since they went Division I. And I know that's been a lot of other guys as well. But just the Penn's elite pipeline, I think the development's been really good when they added in the Excel program as well for the high school age kids. I think it's been really good for my development. And I really thank the Penn's elite for making me the player I am today.
Well, Matt, let's talk about the goal itself. I'm looking at the replay right now. What an unbelievable moment. It was. Take us through the play, and then, you know, do you black out when you score like that? What do you remember when the puck went in the net?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, it was towards the end of overtime. It was looking like it could have gone two or three overtimes, but, I mean, my line mate, Charlie Serrato, made a great play entering the zone and found me in the slot. I wanted to one-time it, but I had to catch it on my backhand, went to my forehand, and saw some net up high and picked my spot, and it was unbelievable. And then after I scored, like you said, just a complete blackout feeling, just so much excitement, and I ended up throwing my stick into the crowd. I'm curious to see who has it, but I just thought it was a great
it's
moment.
It's on eBay right really now. Excited. You're never going to get it back.
Who's got the puck?
No, never.
Did you get the puck?
No, I haven't gotten anything. I mean, I watched the video back, and I saw somebody catch the stick and hold on to it, bear hugged it. So it seems like they were excited too.
That's pretty awesome. I want to ask you about your coach, because he has really done some great things. I know he's finalist, I think, for Coach of the Year. I don't know if they've made that official or where that stands, but he's one of those guys who knows how to bring people together. So what attracted you to Penn State? I know they were a club sport just 15 years ago, so I'm sure if you had other choices, some of them may have been better. But what was it about Guy and what he does?
Yeah, no, definitely. I looked at some other schools, but I really just didn't think anything compared to Penn State. On a hockey level, but then academically as well. And then, like you mentioned, Coach Godowski, he was a huge reason why I went to Penn State as well. I mean, I think the success he's had without having the major amount of draft picks that some of the other teams have had, I think he really knows how to build a culture and get the best out of everyone. So, I mean, I think it's great that he's up for a Coach of the Year. I think he's really well-deserved. And just the way he gets everyone to come together and play a winning style and have a great culture, not even just at the rink, but away from the rink. All the guys are close, and I think it helps in big moments like you guys just saw.
Matt, I wanted to ask just about the goal and overtime in general, and especially how long it went. You scored with, what, about 2.5 left in the first overtime? It kind of reminds me of some of those old Penguin series in 16-17 when they hit game-winning goals to further move on in the Stanley Cup Finals. What are those moments like when you're grinding and battling in those moments where there's so many scoring chances, so many opportunities, UConn hit a post earlier in overtime as well to finally get it done?
Yeah, no, I mean, I watched all those old Pens games. I mean, I went to a couple old Penguins playoff games when they were in those runs, 16-17, and it's just as soon as you see the puck at the back of the net, it's just everyone goes crazy. It's just a complete rush of excitement, and just see all your teammates jumping over the boards. It's just unbelievable. Just like a feeling that's really hard to describe. And honestly, the goal really hasn't sunk in for me just yet, but it's still just a wave of excitement.
I mean, and we're talking to Matt DeMarsico, who scored the goal that has sent Penn State to its first Frozen Four. It's kind of a miraculous story here. You guys started 0-9-1 in the Big Ten. Do I have that right? And what turned your season around, Matt?
Yeah, no, we did start 0-9-1. I mean, I think we definitely played good enough to win a couple of those games. And then our starting goalie, Arseny Sergeyev, went down in the middle of the season. But I think to come back from going 0-9-1 at the start, I mean, it just shows what we have in the culture. Like I said earlier with Coach Godowski and some of the upperclassmen we have, really didn't let us punt the season. I mean, I think we even got more competitive in practice when we were losing instead of just giving up. And I think just like how hard we competed in practice and the way we've kind of built our game each and every game, because obviously when you lose, there's things to learn from. And I think we took all those lessons and really applied them to our game the second half of the year. And I think the record's 23-1, I want to say. So we've been on a pretty big heater here. So just trying to keep it going into the Frozen Four.
Two more on that heater would be nice for you guys. I want to ask you about what it meant to play in Allentown. It seemed like it was almost, you know, a home hockey match for you guys. How much did that help you along the way? Because, you know, if it wasn't there, who knows what it could be like. But how much of a factor do you think that played?
Oh, it was huge. Obviously, I mean, it's technically a neutral site. But when we heard it, when we knew it was in Allentown, and you go out for warm-ups on Friday versus Maine, and you're supposed to be an underdog, but you got 9,000 people just screaming, "We are Penn State." I mean, it does definitely change the momentum of the game. And we started out really good early and got into a big lead at the end of the first period. So that was huge for us.
What do you think was the key game where you really saw the switch flip for you guys, where you realized that something like this was possible?
We played Michigan State at home start of the second half of the year. We lost the first game. We played great. It was just, I think it was a one goal game. And then Saturday night, it was kind of, we got to start this thing or we're going home. And we had a huge shootout win against another, they were ranked number one team in the country at that point. And I think once we won that game and the shootout and took down number one at home in front of a like sold out crowd, I think we all just kind of had that belief that we can beat anyone when we play the right way.
Matt, I see where your dad played football at Army. Is that right? What kind of sport?
Yeah.
What kind of sports household did you grow up in?
Oh, huge sports household. I think we have every single puck, ball, stick you can imagine in our garage. I mean, I played all of it growing up. My brother got me into hockey. He went through the Penns League program as well. So it's just been, even though my dad never played ice hockey, it was West Point football, but he understands what it's like to go through and play Division I sport and kind of that training aspect of everything.
That's what I was going to ask next was why hockey? Did you play a bunch of other sports and why this one?
Yeah, so my brother got me into hockey when I was young. I mean, I've played every other sport. I was pretty big into lacrosse when I was in high school. I mean, I'm still golf all the time too, but I think just kind of when I started skating, I just kind of loved it. And I think my parents always really supported me. They never pushed me in any certain direction. It kind of just had me find my love for the game, and that's something I'll always appreciate.
Golf, Bob, huh? I wonder what Matt's handicap is.
I'm sure he's very good.
We should play with him. Matt, what's your handicap?
I'm a 5.
Oh, my God.
He's not hesitant to tell you that, which means he's a 2.
I know how that works.
That absolutely means you're a 2.
You said 5, you're a 2. Okay, we got that straight. I want to ask you one more thing about your next opponent. A lot of people look to them as the team to beat. You've been underdogs before, so tell us a little bit about that matchup potentially with Boston University and what it might mean.
Yeah, no, obviously they're a storied program, and they have a lot of talent, but I think, like you said, we've been the underdogs before. It doesn't really seem to change the way we play or how we approach things, and we'll just take this week to get a good pre-scout on them and just stick to our game plan and hopefully come out on top.
Well, Matt, we appreciate you taking the time. That was quite a moment, quite a goal, and good luck in St. Louis.
Yes. Thank you so much.
And we want to take on that 5, soon to be 2 handicaps.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
When you win it all,
have you played
out
in State College, Bob? The courses
out
there? Yeah,
they have some nice ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toff Trees is really nice.
Yes, it is.
A lot of competitions were held at Toff Trees, still are.
I played horribly there one day. Thank you, Matt.
See you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Good luck.
Thank
you. How about that, Bob, huh?
Whenever someone tells you they're a 5, they're really a 2. I know how this works. If he had hesitated, I've been really struggling, I'm a 5. You might have believed him or said it was a little higher, but no. That's a man who knows how to play golf.
Oh,
hockey players always impress me how they hit the golf balls.
Oh yeah. 0-9-1 and they're going to the Frozen Four. That's a hell of a story. Limits
done a great job with them.
Nice get there.
Yeah, I was really excited about that. We tried to get him on Monday, but having both of you guys here, I think, was pretty cool. And I was up there on Saturday at State, and there was a pretty decent buzz for what the hockey program's been doing. That was obviously before they clinched it on Sunday. And I was up at a game last year. Really, really cool facility up at Pagula that they're playing in.
Well, let's get back to the six-pack next before we get to the general and Starkey's card of the week. And, man, we have some Pirate stuff to talk about. We'll do that next, starting with David Bednar getting demoted to Triple A. What a story.